is the Conorad Alert. Civil defense information will be broadcast at 6:40.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Y2K. How can we prepare?
Stop a few of their machines and radios. Throw them into darkness for a few hours.
We are fighting for our lives. My family must survive.
Over 5 years. 1,000 gallons of gas. Air filtration. Water filtration.
Coming at you from the frozen tundra that is East Central Alberta, Canada. Streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Rumble, and Odyssey. Welcome back to the workshop where we create community, find freedom, promote preparedness, and share success. I am Toolman Tim. Today is the first damn day of spring, which is March 19th, 2024. And this is episode 435 of Workshop Radio. How are all my fellow delinquents out there? Truth be told, I kind of lied in my intro. We are not in the frozen tundra of East Central Alberta. We are in the slightly less frozen tundra that is northern North Dakota. Coming from Minot, North Dakota, on the first day of a 56-day road trip. It's not going to be a sprint. It's going to be a marathon, folks. And in just a minute, we are going to bring on two of my good buddies from the Midwest Preparedness Project. But before we do, just got to thank our sponsors. That is Joel Riles of Fortress K9. He has the Protection Dog podcast. He's in the midst of making a huge move, making his entire company, his business, so much better off. It is going to be exciting. I'm excited. So if you want a certain way of being told how to do something with a smile on his face, but he will tell you exactly how it is, give Joel a listen and we will go from there. Okay. With that, we are going to bring on my good buddies. Hang on here. Patrick and Bobby, or Spags. How are you guys?
How's it going tonight, man?
Good. Absolutely great. I was started my morning at 4. My audio coming through okay?
No, keep going.
Oh, yeah. Four in the morning. I got going 4 in the morning today and got to the hotel, sat down for 5 minutes, fell sound asleep like the old man I am. So there you go.
Where did you say you're at?
I'm in North Dakota.
Where in North Dakota?
Minot, North Dakota.
March 27th, 1979. Guess who was born in Minot, North Dakota at the Air Force Base?
Really?
This guy. I was born where you're at right now, bro.
Dude, that is cool. Right on.
Did you see floor tiling, lead paint, U.S. Air Force, 1970s. That's where I was born.
Did you say March 27th?
Yeah, I'll be 45 in a few days.
Your birthday is one day. I'm March 26, 81.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
All the stars are aligning here. What the crap?
Warriors of the Cold War.
Oh, my gosh.
Very true. Tail end Gen X. There you go. How's that? So,
it's a true story.
So what brings you boys on tonight?
We are brought to you by our sponsors, Asper Cream.
Oh, we're Homesteady, one of our sponsors of the Midwest Preparedness Project, and our man in the chair in the studio. Go find Nowhere Homesteady on YouTube.
Bullets yes, in we the do house. Have a. There is a third man behind you guys that we can't see right at the moment, right?
I don't know. Is there
behind you? Behind in front. You know how that goes.
Behind front. Yeah. Oh yes, the glass wall. I forgot.
This is a virtual backdrop. Everyone, it's not real.
It's just the folks that are. They're sitting there making sure you don't say something inappropriate. You know, they're behind the smoked glass, right? So
our handlers. Ooh, yes. We have smoked glass and handlers.
Inappropriate. they're fucked.
We're all in trouble now, guys. So you know what? Let's start out with introduce yourselves, boys, and let everybody know who you are, where you come from, you know, how you got so good looking, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm Spags. I'm 40. Wait, that's Tim. I'm Patrick Henry. I'm part of the Midwest Preparedness Project down here. Spags and I kind of spearhead a preparedness movement in Northeast Kansas, along with a bunch of our buddies. We run this thing called the Midwest Preparedness Project. It's a twice a year festival, you of which are now an alumni too. And so I've been in the prepper movement since I fell out of my mom. And she said that survival is the name of the game. And I've just kept up that attribute the majority of my life.
How about you, Spags?
My name is Bobby Spags, longtime listener, first time caller. Hey, folks, I'm right seat, left seat with Patrick from Midwest Preparedness Project. We're the crew that puts on this show. Well, we're the crew that does all the pain in the butt part. Everybody else gets the fun stuff. You know, folks like, you know, Christy with the Kids Project, you know, Tag and all the other folks, they get the fun stuff. We get to grind our fingers to the bone, and we wouldn't have it any other way. But that's what we do. We're here in the Midwest. We're in Kansas, right by Lawrence, and our show is coming up in May.
I got to say, it's great to have you, first-time caller, but could you please turn your radio down?
Oh.
We hot?
Yeah. Well, we're good. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the old
it's the old Roy D. Mercer calling show. Yeah, how big a boy are you?
Please turn down your radio, folks. Yes. So, you know, I want to pick your guys' brains a little bit about your kind of trip or your journey through preparedness. So, Pat, you said that you've been prepping since you fell out of your mama. What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is my mom is an immigrant. She's a Filipino woman that came here from she escaped the Ferdinand Marcos regime. So my mom saw some horrors and atrocities that the majority of us can only, you know, envision in movies or through stuff that guys like this live through. And so I grew up on the tail of those stories where, you know, you could still see the horror in my mom's eyes as she's telling these, you know, these horrific things that she lived through. And so as she imparted that to us kids, literally survival was the name of the game. That's what she drilled into us every day. So that's what I mean by that. So I've just kind of lived by that mantra the majority of my life, and it served me well.
And you, Spags, where did your, because you don't just name something the Midwest preparedness, you know, that sort of thing, right, without being into the whole idea of preparedness. And I've had you on before, but you know what? The show's grown a fair bit over the last while. So tell us a little bit about kind of your journey from 1979 Minot to here we are.
Yes, I am a product of the Cold War. I am Gen X, one of the last years of Gen X, greatest generation in American history, if you ask me. But yeah, I grew up in Europe. After I left North Dakota, I grew up in Germany for quite a few years after, you know, being born there. And I remember watching the F-8s fly back from the east part of Germany with smoke trailing out of their engines because the Cold War wasn't nearly as cold as everybody thought it was. I remember the fall of the Berlin Wall. In fact, in my studio back at my house, I have a piece of the Berlin Wall. So I grew up in a military home, very right-wing, very Christian home with a lot of end times prophecy type mentality. So that was what framed me growing up. So I always knew that there was something coming, whatever that might be. And as time went on, I just kind of evolved into that preparedness ideology. And every job and everything I've ever done has kind of like lent its little bit to that narrative.
Did you ever have Wednesday night movie nights at church and watch those old Thief in the Night films?
Oh, you know it. You know it. Left Behind series, all that kind of stuff, the Illuminati books. There was these comic books from the 70s and 80s that, and I don't remember who put them out, but they were these Christian comic books that were all part of the Satanic Panic, and they were the whole thing, you know, razor blades and apples and Halloween.
They were great.
They were hilarious, but they scared the shit out of you as a kid. You were like, oh my God, people are poisoning Halloween candy. It's the devil's, you know, and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, all of that stuff I grew up with.
That messed us all up just a little bit. There, look at that. I forgot about. Do you remember Chick Tracks?
Yep.
Anybody? Oh my.
Chick Tracks. Yes. Chick Tracks.
And for those who don't know, they were kind of like, I guess they were like black and white comics that were like, you're going to die and go to hell almost instantly for no matter what you do. They would be handed, you would go into bathrooms and people would just leave them by the urinals or like the fake $1 million bills. Do you remember? Oh, yep. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So. Hopefully we've all come to a more hopefully we've all come to a little better, a more robust understanding of the world compared to that early, you know, fire and brimstone evangelical days. But I think there's a big portion of preppers today who kind of cut their teeth on obsession with the end of the world from the book of Revelation, Daniel, and the rest of it.
Sure. I mean, let's not mince words here. Everybody here cut their teeth with some Alex Jones. Every one of us watched an Alex Jones video in the late 90s, early 2000s, mid 2000s. And every one of us were like, ooh, maybe he's a little right.
I'm still not sure that birds aren't real and frogs are gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what they say? They say that a broken clock or a stop clock is right twice a day. So even if they're wrong, there's usually some grains of truth in there, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Everybody's a little right. No one has a corner on truth, but the truth is there. And if you put all the viewpoints together, at some point you're going to find some pretty neat stuff.
I've met some people that are a little right, and I've met some people that are a lot left, and I try to live in the center, but I don't know how good I'm doing. So there you go. So you guys have put together this incredible event that I just happened to have the honor of speaking at and being on a panel at last year. So tell us a little bit about the history behind this too, because I'm a sucker for finding out how events get built. And, you know, I love things that have a legacy, and you guys have a fair bit of a legacy with this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very fascinating how it all kind of came to be. This started the better part of a decade ago with some old BBS boards. There was a group of guys that would get on some old BBS boards and communicated on like the survivalist group thread that started this camp out. And to be truthful, I don't think there's maybe three guys left of that original camp out. So Tag, who you remember from the camp outs. So Tag from Life Done Free. Chief, who's a part of our staff, Les, and then myself, I think we're the last three of the old guard that originally started these campouts way back in, I think, 2010, 2011, somewhere right in there is when we first started doing these things. So it's been going on for a hot minute, and we inherited the legacy, and Spags came on a few years back and started slumming with the rest of us Northeast Kansas kids. And next thing you know, we've got, you know, Kyle in the studio, and we're hanging out with delinquents like yourself.
And so now you guys do this twice a year?
Correct. Once in the spring, once in the fall, and they're week-long camping extravaganzas. You know, most of the prepping and homesteading shows out there are these big, massive, a lot of money to get in, lots of classes, a very topic-heavy agenda and a topic-heavy schedule.
Very heavy driven.
Very, yeah. There's lots of stuff. There's no room to sit and relax at a lot of these shows. Yeah. Ours is completely different. We don't charge you to get in. It's a week long. You can set up on Tuesday and camp all the way until Sunday morning. And the main events don't start until Thursday afternoon. And we then put all the events through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we only do three classes or three events a day in the first part of the day. And then we have dinner. And then we have a couple of events after dinner that are more fellowship-based, more communal, more interactive for the crowds to engage in.
Yeah.
And you don't even start that early in the morning compared to some events.
Oh, God, no. You're in a tent, for Christ's sake, or an RV. You're going to be a little sore when you wake up, especially all of us who are in, you know, the 40s-plus category. You got to let people get their coffee and their bacon and eggs and get ready for the day.
Some of the kids stuff happens early, Tim. Like they'll do some of the stuff like before us old bogeys get up and like stretch out and do all that. But there is some stuff that happens early. But that's the core of that faith, family, fellowship mantra that we beat in the ground. Because with that, we can use those different avenues to do those things where we've got, you know, like Christy, like he mentioned earlier, is taking the kids off on a nature walk at 9 o'clock in the morning while we're still drinking coffee and pretending that we're cool.
Yeah.
When Spags first reached out and you're like, hey, I'd like you to come, and you kind of told me how it worked, it was so antithetical to any other event I had been to. And sure. I knew you had been doing this for a while, so obviously it was successful. But in my head, I couldn't quite wrap around exactly what it was. Like, I get it. I was like, okay, it's a week-long camp. It doesn't cost anything. And it's not scheduled right to the – I mean, there's a schedule. But it's not like every 15 minutes there's seven different events going on like a lot of other events I've gone to. Then right. I show up and I'm like, dude, this is like one great big family. We're all just, you know, hanging out, chilling. The kids are running around doing what kids do. And so you guys have built kind of a community around this entire thing at this point, have you?
Yes. There are multiple preparedness organizations, groups, projects that all come together to put this thing together. You know, Tag has the Jackson County thing that he's got going on where he's got folks from all over the country coming out there and moving to that location to try to build this massive community. You have my group that I have in the Topeka area. Patrick has folks he deals with. Kyle has people he deals with. And there are all these different preparedness groups that have been forming for years in Kansas. And then you have all the outliers who aren't part of groups yet, but who know people in groups. And it's kind of a word of mouth thing that just kind of blew up and became its own animal over time.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure how far it is, but there was multiple people there from Texas as well, which kind of blew me away. Jeremy, otherwise known as One Step Closer, he's joined with a lot of groups. He comes from from the workshop as well. He was there, which was awesome. And I met the Crunchy Mama Farms, I think was their name.
Yeah, Crunchy Acre Farms.
Yeah, Crunchy Mama Farms. Yeah, yep. They were from Texas too.
Those guys were cool.
Yeah.
They were awesome. I was surprised at the broad palette of folks that I met at this event, because there were people there. Because when I go to all these different events, I try to collect interviews. I do in-person interviews with folks, and then I kind of release them throughout the year. And there was three or four people I'm like, I don't think you're going to be at any other event. This is a great time to sit and pick your brain.
Oh, sure. We had folks from New York City. We had folks from New Mexico, Texas, Wisconsin, you from Canada. I mean, we had
the Appalachians.
It's Midwest preparedness because it started here, but it is drawing folks from around the country and even theoretically the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
So you do May this year and then
September.
September. Yeah. I was pretty sure. I was like, no, it was September. That was a whirlwind trip. So I was trying to remember the dates for sure. But
yeah. As I said, the camp out that you attended, the festival that you attended, the dude that won the farthest away gift was from New York that particular time. He had traveled like 1,400 miles.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That is absolutely mind blowing.
Well, you know, I went to every year at Prepper Camp in North Carolina. They have an award for the person that goes the furthest. And I mean, we're talking, you know, I came from Canada, so it was like, 2,500 miles. I figured I got this wrapped up and I'm going to put my hand up. And this lady, she's like, oh, I'm from Australia. I'm like, have a nice day.
Go back to Canada.
That's right. Oh yeah. She's a sweetheart. I know her now. Well, she's part of the community. And so you guys have kind of branched out to this, what is it called? The Great American Road Trip. Is that what it is? Or
the Great American Preparedness Tour. We've linked up with Self-Reliance Festival and the Kentucky Sustainable Living Expo, which all have shows in the spring and all have shows in the fall. And we've created this thing called the Great American Preparedness Tour. And this year we're launching a program where each show has their own chip. So you go to Kentucky Sustainable Living and you get this poker chip. And you have to ask for it. They're not going to hand it to you. If you think you're going to make all three shows, you go ask for it. And then after that, you're going to go see Nicole at Self-Reliance Festival, and you're going to get this one. There we go. If it auto, there we go.
And is it printed blurry like that?
That's the Self-Reliance Festival poker chip. And we at Midwest Preparedness, of course, have the Midwest Preparedness poker chip. And it's a green, a red, and a blue one. And if you collect all three chits throughout 2024 and show proof of it to us, we will be sending you a present come Christmas time for completing the Great American Preparedness Tour.
You have to have all three, though.
I was going to say, I got to fill up my bingo card one of these years, because in the fall, I did SRF and Midwest Preparedness. In the spring, I'm doing SRF and Kentucky Sustainable. So,
well, as long as you get them all within the same year, you don't have to do them all in the spring or the fall. You have a calendar year to complete the tour.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a, okay.
So you could do Midwest in the spring and the other two in the fall, or those two, you know, two in the spring, one in the fall. You can do all three in the fall, all three in the spring. And as long as you get the token from all three, you get the gift at the end of the year.
Your preparedness poker chip run.
So let's chat a little bit about the other two partners, because it's coming up really quick. So what is today? Tuesday. So Friday, I'm going to be at Kentucky Sustainable. So how did this partnership come up?
It was a crazy idea that Patrick and I came up with last year, and we approached Shelly and Jason from KSL and then Nicole from
Self-Reliance
Festival. And we're like, hey, why don't we create this thing where people are encouraged to get out of their comfort zones and travel around the country to various shows that put on, you know, things that are involving preparedness, survivalism, homesteading, bushcraft, all of it, right? And encourage folks to start meeting people everywhere to start creating the communities outside of the initial small circles that all of them tend to form in, right? The whole idea is to cast a wider net. If I'm in, you know, Kentucky, or if I'm in Tennessee, when the bombs drop, I have places to go now. Mm-hmm. If people from there are in Kansas, they have places to go now. And the idea is to spread that net out just a little bit further between the mountain ranges, and let's create something where everyone now has more than one plan. You know, being a prepper, you know, the old saying, one is none, two is, what is it?
Two is one, one is none.
Yeah, yeah. And I generally hate those little sayings like that. But in this case, it actually rings true, because you could absolutely be caught with your pants down 1,000 miles from home. What are you going to do? Well, now we know people in New Mexico and New York and Texas and Canada, so that our net is being cast in a way where you have a higher chance of survival no matter where you find yourself.
Yep.
So I was on with Nicole. She was promoting the Self-Reliance Festival, and we did Sunday evening. We talked. It was actually her presentation on underground networking. Yeah. So we're talking kind of in a theoretical kind of, you know, even when the shit does hit the fan,
yep,
it's a good thing to have a community. How about even in the everyday over the next few years, why would having this community or expanding into all of these communities, why is that a good idea for all of us as preppers?
Well, you yourself talk a lot about entrepreneurship, right? So now you know Chuck Peoples with tourniquets and other medical stuff, right? You know several different, you know several people who do ham radio, who sell radios, who sell that stuff. You know EMP Shield. You know all these different companies and different folks who are coming up with these products in a much broader sense than you would have if you were only in one place. And it helps you to network for business, for entrepreneurship, to get out of the poverty mindset, as you're always talking about. I now know that I have people across the country I can send a quick text to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've got this idea. What do you think of this? And we can collaborate and come up with something that betters all of our lives.
Yeah, Tim, if you don't think for a second that after last year, I didn't have a long, hard talk with my wife about starting a home remodeling and daycare business, you're wrong, bro. Because, you know, we considered all those things.
Yeah.
Because a buddy of mine told me that that's how you kill the poverty mindset.
Absolutely. You know what? Yesterday around 3 o'clock, we were an hour and a half out of town for our final inspection for our latest daycare that we're opening. So we actually, I mean, this has been 6 months of balls to the wall work, getting that ready for the final licensing inspection. So that was yesterday. Come home, hit the road this morning for this trip. So this is actually going to be a bit of a break, but thank you. I mean, we talk about it and, you know, Spags, you said like things like two is one, one is none are a bit cliche, but the cool thing about a cliche is it's true. It's just been repeated so much that sometimes you become deaf to it in your brain, right?
Right.
And I love it. I think it's awesome. So what are some of the benefits that come out of events like this? Because, I mean, I have my own kind of personal opinions, but I'm a sucker for events. I'm hitting 5 up in the next 8 weeks. So what do you see some of the benefits coming out of these are?
I think it really depends on your perspective, you know, and at the level at which you choose to participate. And that's kind of the beauty of these events is, you know, you get to choose that level of participation, from whether it's just walking through the gate and mingling with your local favorite celebrity, or whether it's you're actually taking a paid class, or you're actually participating in something that might save your life, your spouse's life, your children's life, you know, down the road. So there's so many different levels of benefits, and it's up to you. It's at what level of an introvert you want to be today. You know, do you want to be the guy that sits in the back of the room and takes notes while Spags and I and, you know, the rest of the class are up there stitching up the dummy or whatever it is that we're doing? Or do you want to actually participate? Do you want to be the person that's up there at the front of the class that's leading the charge or asking the questions or learning how to kill the poverty mindset or building your mutual assistance group in north, south, east, and west locations? There's a whole spectrum, whole slew, whole, I guess you could dare say, cornucopia of reasons why you would attend these events outside of just shit hitting the fan.
Sir, I assign you 15 vocabulary points for the use of the word cornucopia.
I do believe, folks, that we just had our first four-syllable word of the evening. So ding, 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 ding. We have a multi-syllabic dialogue going on here, folks. We're doing much better than the typical grunts and groans that we normally have. So we're doing awesome. So I got a question from Bonnie about speakers. But before we go into that, tell us, because you said mainly it's what, Thursday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, Friday. Talk about what
the events are going to start really Thursday afternoon.
So talk about what kind of events, because there's some fun things in there too, but just kind of run us through what a regular kind of event schedule is.
Okay. We do three, what we call them classes, even though that may be not quite the right word. We do three classes on Friday, three classes on Saturday. And those can be anything from a presentation to a demonstration. So this spring, our first event on Friday is a natural beekeeping class by two of our local folks. We have The Todd is starting a YouTube channel also, and I will be passing his information around, but look up The Todd. And then Michael Stouse from Paratus Radio. They also do horizontal bee hives.
Yes.
And it's all about natural beekeeping.
Yes.
So they're going to be giving a presentation for an hour on how they build these hives, how they manage them, how they maintain them.
The bougie hives, the Leo Sharshaskin.
Yes, these are Dr. Leo's, I believe. And Dr. Leo may or may not be involved with us later on in the year. Keep that one to yourself. But
let's share this with anybody else.
Shit, we're on the internet. So there's that. The second class is going to be from Dawn Gorman about prepping from a woman's perspective. She's going to come out and she's going to give a class called Fierce and Fearless, a woman's perspective on prepping beyond beans and bullets.
Yep.
We really wanted this particular spring to have a little more of a feminine flair to it, because so often in these things, it's dude with beard, dude with beard, dude with beard, dude with beard, talking about guns and body armor and all this fun stuff, right? But the fact is, women drive prepping. They always have, because women in most homes control the purse strings and they do the family budgeting.
No offense to the chicks with beards, by the way.
Yeah, chicks with beards. Yeah, whatever. It's 2024. Pronouns.
Or the dudes without beards. You know, I mean, they exist too.
Or the dudes without beards. Yeah.
But you get it, right? Prepping has been so male-centric for so long that it has become kind of a drudgery to go listen to the same people say the same things for the last 15 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. So we have Dawn Gorman coming in to give that presentation. Then we're going to have what's called the Freedom Panel that you were on last year. The Freedom Panel is led by Tag from Life Done Free. And several of the panelists, along with Patrick Henry and myself, will be up there. And the crowd will get to directly interact with us, ask questions, put us on the spot, test our knowledge, whatever they want to do. And we'll have folks in the audience passing mics around, asking questions and that sort of thing. To end out Friday, we have four events this year. We have Christy with the kids events is going to be doing an actual kids giveaway each day. So we're going to start out with a kids giveaway for all the children that participate in all of the children's events that run in tandem with all the adult events. Then we do the big giveaway on Friday for all the, and that's how we raise money for the show, is we sell, you know, folks like you give us, you know, Patch of the Month Club certificates, and we put those things up on stage and we sell opportunity tickets, and that's how we fund this entire event. That's how we keep it free to the public. So we have the giveaway. Then after that, we have Grumpy's Seed Exchange, and everybody knows Grumpy Acres Farms. They're another YouTube channel. Go check them out. In fact, they're live, I think, right now at the same time we are.
Fellow Northeast Kansas.
They're a part of the Jackson County Project, and they do a seed exchange, which is a complete barter-only system where you can trade seeds, starts, and trees. But nothing illegal and nothing that's going to get anyone arrested and no cash allowed. Those are the only rules. So people will bring all the seeds from their gardens and they'll exchange them with seeds with other people that they might not have. Then after that, we have a thing called Preppers After Dark, where Patrick leads us all in a round of Dubrawl, which is Without the Rule of Law, the card game.
Brought to you by
Practical Survival, JD Dutra, and Southern Prepper One. They were the ones who came up with this game.
Thank you, guys.
And that's pretty much how, and you can go to our website, MidwestPreparedNessProject.com, and you can actually purchase decks of Dubrawl, and we are affiliates, so the project does get a 5% kickback or something like that on those.
In one of those packages, there's a golden ticket, and if you get the right package, you actually win the Dubrawl factory.
Ooh. Did we just was this the workshop / Charlie and Chocolate Factory mashup that we've all been waiting for?
Sorry.
So then we have Saturday. Saturday, we're starting off with a female self-defense course. We have a local shoot house / martial arts studio called Fire Defensive Skills. And they did this last spring where they get guys in red man suits and all the women get to come out and just beat the shit out of these dudes. And they teach these women how to defend themselves against bigger guys and folks who might be coming at them with mischievous ends, right?
I was surprised at how many women had never kicked a man in the nuts before.
And they all got to. They all got to beat the hell out of these guys. And it was awesome to watch. We have quite a few pictures out there on social media of these women just mauling these guys into the ground. It was a fantastic time.
Yeah.
After that, Nicole Sauce is going to be coming out. She's going to be giving her class. And again, it's kind of female oriented, even though it applies to everybody. And it's about you can do it alone. It's, I think, going to be a class that gets into how to pick the proper partners to build homesteads with. And it doesn't always have to be a married couple. So it's going to be from that perspective, which is going to be a little bit different. We haven't heard that narrative before.
Yep.
Then the final event on Saturday is going to be Tag and B from Life Done Free are going to be doing a live broadcast on their YouTube channel from the main stage. And there is rumor that there is going to be a heavy incentive to be either online if you're not there physically or in the crowd.
Both.
And I'm not going to say what the incentive is. I'm going to let him break that Easter egg open for you guys. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be bad to the bone, and you're not going to want to miss it.
It'll be worth driving 2,500 miles from Canada to come down and check it out. It
will be worth it. It'll be absolutely worth
it. It'll definitely cover your gas bill.
Yes. So there's that.
Yep. One step ask Bartertown, was that involved? Or do we?
We're coming up to that.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. The last four events on Saturday, we have the communal potluck that we do every Saturday. So bring your penicillin and your ivermectin and get ready to eat everybody else's cooking at a campsite. You know how that works.
I do pulled pork just for everybody that's out there, and it's phenomenal.
It is badass. I eat it every time. But we have a big communal potluck after the main event on Saturday. When that starts to wrap up, again, Christy's going to do another kids giveaway for Saturday, and we're going to do our final main giveaway with all the things that our sponsors gave us. And immediately following that giveaway, we go into what's called Bartertown. And this is really the cornerstone event of the entire week, and you've witnessed this firsthand. Again, two rules, nothing that will get anyone arrested. And no cash. And everybody takes these card tables and these 8-foot folding tables out of their trucks and throws all their extra stuff. And it becomes this giant prepper and homesteading bazaar where folks are going around. Well, I've got this and you've got that. We've had kids cook s'mores over the campfire and bring it up there and say, I want to trade this for your box of 9mm ammunition, whatever. Right. So it is a complete post-apocalyptic exercise in how to engage in the gray state and the alternative economy after the dollar collapses.
That's awesome. I ended up missing Bartertown and the potluck because I had Becky was flying in. I left just before dark on Saturday, and I was disappointed. I did manage to get some 10th ounce silver from a gentleman who was playing his wares there for a bit. So I bought 10 of those, which was cool because they're hard to come by, and it's
they are. That would have been Tom Murray from Preppers or from
Tom's
Prepper Hub. Yeah,
another big sponsor of ours. Yeah, yep.
That dude had. It reminded me of when you're a kid going into a thrift store almost. But he was all
yep.
Yeah, he had everything. You know, it's the type of thing that you'll be driving. We stopped in coming home somewhere in South Dakota. Complete middle of nowhere. You go in and there's this place. It's like a convenience store, a shutdown restaurant, and it has everything else for sale. And that's what he reminded me of, except his stuff was really good.
Yes. Yeah. Same. Tom's got one of those displays. Like every time I walk by Vendor Row, I walk by Tom's and I go, oh, hey,
look at that.
Oh, hey, I'll be back. Let me go get some silver.
Here's a hint. He donated 4 ounces of silver for the giveaway this year. So there are 4 1-ounce silver coins I'm going to have to give away.
Somebody's going to take home some coin.
Yep.
Nice. Oh, I love it. Yeah, yeah. I brought a bunch of Canadian silver with me this time to barter or sell at all my events that I'm heading to. So I'm quite excited. I got, I don't know, somewhere, I don't know how many, in $300 or $400 worth of old junk Canadian silver that looks really nice. So hopefully some people take me up on it.
Nice.
So what are your, at the end of one of these events, how do you deem it a success? What coming out of the end of it, after you've kind of, you know, washed your hair, dipped your face in cold water, had 3 days to sleep, how do you define an event as a success?
So we all get together at the end and we burn this giant effigy of this wooden figure we built prior to.
Effigy?
Oh, wait.
Effigy?
Yeah.
I rescind your former vocabulary points.
I'm trying to make it as non-bougie as I can. We build this big effigy. Effigy?
We're not talking about Burning Man here, are we, by chance?
No, it's like it's a thing, you know, that we build, and it's like made of wood. You know, this effigy.
It's like a giant man that you burn that isn't, yeah.
Is this a new tattoo right here that says effigy?
It says no effigy.
Oh, is that like a fig free Fig Newton? No effigy?
Yes.
I don't know. Oh, dear.
It's really qualify, you know, what made it successful. Other than for me, sitting back and watching the people say, look what we did. Yeah. You know, or hearing the testimony from dudes like you that came to an event that had never been to one before, that had, you know, maybe a little reservation prior to showing up or some type of expectation of what you thought you were going to find, but then were completely redirected once you got there and blown away. I mean, you tell me, from what you saw, was our event successful from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely. I loved, and it's cool because every place has its own definition of what a successful event is. You know, some of the larger events I've gone to, their idea is 64 speakers over 3 days and every minute being booked, right? Which is awesome. That, you know what, if that's what you're there for to learn, that's great. And what I got to see at your guys' event was a bunch of kids running around being kids, family being family. And it reminded me, again, you know, go back to, you know, 1986, the Digby Wesleyan Church. We would go out and have Sunday school picnics and we would play baseball and we'd have a three-legged race and they'd have a peanut scramble. And then they would play softball on a hill because we didn't have a real field. And that's what it reminded me of, that the kind of community that most people don't get anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to be very Norman Rockwell, I guess you could say, for a lack of a better word. When Patrick and I first decided we were going to take charge of this thing and turn it into what it's become, there was 70 to 80 people showing up regularly. Over the course of the 4 shows that we've done together, it's now 287 people, and we're anticipating close to 400 this spring.
Wow.
So the population continues to grow while retaining the old guard, while retaining the people that made it what it was to begin with. It's not one of these things where we had to super monetize it, drive away everybody who started with it because now they couldn't stand what it had become, only to be a complete sellout commercial enterprise. We've done our best to bridge the middle ground where we had to commercialize certain parts of it while keeping true to what it was always supposed to be. And all of the people who are there, the old guard, are still there showing up, fully supporting us. Guys like Hancock and Barry Montgomery and Chief, Charles Scarborough, Pat Wiley. I mean, I could go on and on and on naming some of the old guards who were part of this before even I was. And they're still there today. And at the same time, we're bringing people from around the country and in some cases around the Northern Hemisphere to come see this thing. So to me, that is a great mark of success. When you can hold on to the people that it started with while bringing on all the new people and you're not driving anybody away, that's a very hard thing to do. And I don't know how the hell we did it, because it wasn't because we're the smartest dudes in the room. It's us, you know, and it's all of you, and it's the people watching, and it's the people showing up the people entrusting the care of their children to Christy while she's doing kids events, the people knowing that Chief and Charles and the guys on our security detail will make sure that their tents are watched at night. It's, you know, Kyle bringing his stage out, taking his trailer and then doubling its size, and then him and Todd creating this monstrosity of wood and tarps that we and bringing out a sound system that we don't have to shout and have a hoarse voice at the end of a weekend. It's people coming together and actually building what everyone else imagines they're going to do in the apocalypse.
Yes.
Two ways I want to kind of take this from there, but all right. So I love how you guys, let's talk about the anarcho principles that come out of this, because I think this is probably the best example of kind of grassroots anarchy. And, you know, I'm an anarcho-capitalist, so it's a perfect example of that. So talk a little bit about how that's founded and where that's grown out of.
Anarcho-capitalism is a philosophy that there is no central rulership over you, that you speak for yourself, no one else speaks for you, and that you have the ability to be as free as possible prior to transgressing someone else's freedom. And it's all market-based. It's a philosophy that says that the free market can indeed improve on any problem that the state produces. And the state produces nothing but problems. That's all it produces. It can't do anything right. Just go to the DMV and you'll see exactly what I mean. The state and the government tend to just muck everything up through red tape and unnecessary steps and all that. So an anarcho-capitalist such as yourself and myself and agorist such as us, we believe that we can come together free from central control and live in a state of communal liberty with each other, have an alternative economy, have alternative education, have alternative power, alternative food production, alternative water collection. And we can do it without having to be reliant on a superstructure of people half the country away who don't care about you. All the kids get together and every now and then there's a little kerfuffle maybe, but they work it out and they do so without the heavy-handed, you know, systems that the state would impose. There's people of all walks of life, different political points of view, different religious points of view, right? And we somehow manage to continue to grow the community where we all get along. Mm-hmm. We can all shake hands. We can all fist bump or whatever we want to do at the end of the day. And you've walked away with some seeds. And I've walked away with some bullets. And he's walked away with some silver. And Kyle's walked away with some of these really cool new stickers that he's got. And everyone's happy. And no one feels slighted. And no one feels cheated because we all observe the principles of respecting everybody's boundaries and liberty. Mm-hmm.
That's the free market to a T, because nobody's going to feel cheated when you both decide on what the cost of a transaction is. I fucking love it, man. That makes me smile to no end.
Yes. And because
that's where we all stand. Like you said, we all come from different backgrounds, different, you know, like religious, whatever it happens to be.
Yep.
But we agree on the things that matter. And it's just the pure basics. That's it. And the rest is all bullshit. We can, just don't get hung up on it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So you guys have grown, and I guess we're kind of coming up on the 45-minute mark, so we'll get close to here wrapping her up. But you guys have grown a ton. Did I hear correctly that you may have moved to a new location?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so we blew out our last spot. So our last spot, so where we hosted you at, that spot was originally designed for 50 people to camp there. For a period of 1 to 2 days. And as you saw, we were well beyond 50 people. So that campsite is rated for 10 vehicles and 50 people. How that math works, I don't know. It's like five people per car, whatever. But anyways, it's government. So this new campsite we're at, we had to move a little bit. What are we, probably 20 minutes, 30 20, minutes?
25 to 30 minutes south of where we were. We're at Clinton Lake now versus Perry Lake.
Just outside of Lawrence, Kansas now. We're at another private campsite. This thing is a phenomenal campsite. I mean, it's like a little Boy Scout, you know, kind of retreat. There's 20 plus gravel RV pads with, you know, nice little campfires.
Campfire rings
and lantern hooks. Yeah, so like there's a full working shower house. We have a playground. We have electricity out there. We have water out there. It's a complete upgrade. Plus, we have a parking lot. and plenty of room for parking. I think this campground can handle up to around 500 people, and yep. we're probably going to break it at the spring campout.
Yep.
Dude, that is awesome.
500 people camping at one time. It literally is like a weird, smelly Burning Man after 3 or 4 days.
But people are nice. Anyway, no. Bartertown. Yes. That's all. You know, shower facilities at this one or no?
Yes. At the last one, there was a shower house all the way down that they didn't turn the water on, right? Yeah. Because the Army Corps of Engineers ran out of money. Where we're at now has a shower house. Mm. A male side, a female side. There's, 4 showers per each. There's urinals and poopers on both. Well, urinals on just the male side, I guess. But yeah, way bigger facilities than last time. Plus a full playground for the kids to play on. The lake is like 40 yards down from where we're going to be at. The pavilion that we normally run Bartertown, the seat exchange and all that stuff from, has power. It has water. We're going to have food vendors out there. Actual vendor row now. So all the vendors are going to be in a line. We're going to be able to have security watch the business part of it between the vendors and the main stage. And then the camping ground is going to be completely over here. And it's going to be awesome.
So, okay. I want you guys to plug your stuff, but we just had a question in the audience that I think we should address. Sure. So, Spag, you can, and or whatever. So Pixel Updates, I do believe we're talking about anarcho-capitalism. So it says agreed, but what about monopolies? So,
hey, life don't freeze in the chat tonight.
What's up, Tag and B?
What's up, guys?
Monopolies can only take place with government. When you have corporate structures where government protects them from their own failures, that's how you get monopolies. Those words are legal words. Monopolies, the word monopoly came out of the antitrust laws from Theodore Roosevelt. All of that only exists with government protecting their favorites and picking winners and losers. You don't get monopolies when you have different tribes and clans bartering with each other. There's no structure in place to oust everybody else through the means of things like taxation or regulation or whatever. There's no corporate lobbying in a system of anarcho-capitalism. So you don't have the ability to create a monopoly at all because, well, people have pitchforks and torches and they will come after you if you threaten their livelihood. It's a completely different world.
It's the same idea of when you start to realize, I mean, I'm going to use an example here, but like the market, right? You look at the stock market or the price of silver or gold. You think, okay, somebody's setting that, but they're not. It's like a live thing, right? It's completely based on this guy is willing to pay this much for gold at this exact instant. And this guy is willing to sell it to him at this instant. And it goes up and it goes down and it goes back and it goes forth. And when the price gets too high, people stop buying. And when somebody has a monopoly, folks stop buying from that monopoly because they don't want to respect it. And you don't have backdoor deals like the government makes all the time. So for instance, go back to the big bank collapse a few years ago when the government's like, hey, automotive industry, here's some money. Keep going. Right.
Yep.
That shit doesn't happen because companies that have monopoly, just look at the oil industry up here in Canada I'm in North Dakota, same thing. When you have a few companies controlling everything, you got me. They just spend and spend and spend, and eventually it becomes untenable and they fall over. But you keep getting propped up and propped up and propped up. Again, that's where monopolies come from. So hope we didn't jump on you, Pixel, but that's where we come from because monopolies can't exist in a completely free market system. It's just not possible.
Right. There's no bailouts. There's no such thing as bankruptcy without the state. Bankruptcy is a state-driven thing.
Right.
No one's there to bail you out or to forgive your bad decision-making in a free market. You fail.
You're supposed to.
And your failure creates a void that somebody will necessarily fill because they want to make money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the government is still using the same space shuttle today that it was using in the 70s. They're still using the same Bluebird school buses that they were using in the 70s. But are you still talking on the same phone you were in 1994? Why? Because the free market, the actual free, non-government free market has incentive to improve their product, to make them better, to make them quicker, to make them more robust. And the only reason that the corruption is there with things like planned obsolescence is because they know the government will bail them out every time they fail.
And in 23 years, when there is 7 connections better than USB-C on your phone, we're still going to be on USB-C because in the European Union's infinite wisdom, they just mandated that iPhones have to have USB-C. Am I happy that they have them? Yes, I am happy. However, not because the government forced them, because you watch, in 10 years or 5 years, there's still going to be USB-C because Apple's not going to come up with anything better. Nobody's going to bother because they're mandated to keep it at this point. So,
Well, it's just like railroad unions. They have these trains that no longer run on coal, but union positions dictate that every train has a coal shoveler on it. Somebody is filling the position on a train in the United States right now to be a coal shoveler on a train that doesn't run on coal because the union dictates it.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious. Go look it up. Every train in the United States has to have a coal shoveler on it. It's a position mandated by government sponsoring unions.
You mean organized crime?
Organized crime, yes.
Now, here's the thing. I don't dig unions. I'm not pro-union or against unions. But in a free market, unions could exist if they wanted to for the protection of employees. The problem is that they've just become another, you know, what do you got? The three-legged stool, you know, big business, union, and government. And all three are just trying to hold this system up. And it's this great big balancing act of, you know, somebody from Cirque du Soleil standing up on top, spinning around. Oh, it's a mess. So,
well, if there was no government to lobby, unions would actually do their jobs instead of just collecting money for the DNC.
Right.
In theory, yes. That's the
And folks would be rewarded based on performance, not based on tenure as well. So there you go.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right, guys. Oh, here we go. Pixel says, I think these are good points. However, I'm out in a very rural area, and I do see monopolization. And hey, with the barter system between farmers, one guy will have hay, and everyone is beholden to him.
But there's no government to stop somebody else from starting hay.
Right.
There's nobody to tell you no. There's no one to stop competition.
Or moving somewhere else. And we're not trying to shit on you, Pixel, because here's the thing. All of modern society's understanding of free market is 100% colored through the lens of whatever this crony capitalism / you know, I don't even know what you want to call what we have today. So corporatism. You know, it's almost like a retread of Nazism, except, you know, anyway, fascism. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. There's your another $3 word this evening. But that's really what it is. And so for us to even envision what a free market would look like, I don't even know. I mean, we can only do it philosophically, you know, and esoterically, because it just, we've never seen it.
Yep.
All right, boys, tell us how they can find you, how they can throw money at you, how they can come to your event, how they can support the hell out of you, because you are brothers and I love you. And I want to make sure people know all about it.
So first and foremost, as much as I hate to say it, shameless plug, like, and subscribe to our YouTube content. Although it doesn't monetize us today, you know, you can go to our website, buy a t-shirt, support the festival. You can show up to the festival and buy giveaway tickets, opportunity tickets for our really cool things that we can't talk about, because Spags will smack me if I let the cat out of the bag too early. You can donate directly on our website, or you can go to fund Spags and Patrick's retirementaccount.com. My account number is never mind.
Retirement. I will never see that.
I know. What is retirement anyway?
Yeah. Oh my God! My colonial pen and my life pendant.
here's a gold watch. Now get out. All I'm going to say is that if you're living life the way you should, and if you're living an anarcho life, retirement should look just like regular life for the most part.
Yep.
Because that's really what it comes down to. Maybe with a little, you know, that it is what it is. But I put what do we get? Any Spags NFTs?
Oh there is actually a Spags NFT. This is a joke, but it's not a joke. So when Spags and I, we're a couple of amateurs, right? We built this website, www.midwestpreparednessproject.com. We put a shop in there. One of the very first things I made was a Spags NFT, and I had it listed on the website for $1. And Spags and I and
we got into a fight with PayPal over it.
Yeah, man.
They thought we were really selling an NFT.
Yeah.
And all we were doing was doing the thing where you had to do your one transaction for a penny to set the account up. So we just created the NFT for fun. Mistake. Don't mess with PayPal, man. They are the Antichrist.
They waged war with us for a freaking dollar, man. Like a $1 transaction over his NFT.
Then you can have YouTubers that sell hundreds of millions of dollars of NFTs and then run away and nobody
bothers. Oh, my God. Now, go to the website. You can buy T-shirts. We are going to have an event T-shirt coming up. You can currently buy some of our regular T-shirts, and we get a portion of the proceeds from those T-shirts. You can buy Dubrol decks of cards on our website, and we get a portion of the proceeds from that.
EMP Shield.
EMP Shield affiliates, My Honey's Kitchen affiliates, and we're hoping to work with more and more of our sponsors to add affiliates, because our mentality is that if we're making money on our website, our sponsors should be making money on our website. So you go to EMP Shield, My Honey's Kitchen, Dubrol, any of these places, they're going to get money, we're going to get money, and we're all part of the same community, so it all rises together. Yep. And To Pixel's point, none of us are trying to claim a monopoly on any of this. We're all just one small cog in this giant prepperverse, and we're hoping to be a force for good instead of this same old that you're used to.
Yeah, amen.
I appreciate you, brothers. This was a lot of fun. For those who want to know, if you're listening on the audio recording or the live replay, I've got your URL for MidwestPreparednessProject.com is in all the places. So make sure you support them, guys, because they put their money where their mouth is. And, you know, I've told this story many, many times, but my wife always used to joke about all my imaginary internet friends. And now she's gradually getting to see that they're real people whom, you know, I didn't disappear when I went to the event. So they're really good shit. So give them some support, guys, because this is what it's about. It's about becoming uncomfortable a little bit, to go out of your way, to go to a new event that you've never been to meet people you've never met, and to make connections for life that you never expected. So with that, folks, as always, stay happy, stay healthy, and have a great week.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.